I suppose you have seen I am carrying a thick stack of papers in my hand as I stood up. Please be assured there's not much on each page, so it won't take long to go through them. It's an honor to be here. I always feel honored to come to the Y and talk to young folks. This morning I should like to do something which I'm not sure I can get away with, but I'm going to try. My subject is Search the Scriptures. Had I announced that previously, I'm sure that none of you would have come. And I told the universe I wouldn't tell them what I was going to talk about for fear that you might not show up. The Savior said, "In them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." I can recall back when I was your age very distinctly. The older one gets, the more one remembers when he's in his teens and early 20s. And I can recall that my relationship to the Savior and to the Lord was very distant. I don't mean by that that I didn't have faith. I mean by that that they weren't so that I was close to them in some manner that I can't quite describe. Learning how to become close is one of your life objects. The sooner you learn it, the happier you'll be. You don't have to wait to be my age to do that. You can do it at your age. And had someone guided me at my age at that time, I would have saved a lot of years in the process of learning to love the Lord and to know what He wants. Now you have to know how to hear His voice. And His voice is going to be constantly speaking to you. But He does it in a certain way. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost. That will be with you always as long as you're righteous. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Father, our God. There's a key to that in the Doctrine and Covenants in section 18, in verses 34 and 36, and I'm going to take the time to read them to you. He said to His 12 apostles, 6 years before they were any apostles, so you now can see Joseph Smith 6 years after the revelation was given, talking to His 12 new apostles, the 12 new apostles, sitting in a row or on seats in a cabin, and He telling them, reading this revelation to them. And the secret of it all is in these verses. He said, the Lord said through Him, "These words are not of men nor of man, but of Me. Wherefore, you shall testify they are of Me and not of man. For it is My voice which speak them unto you, for they are given by My Spirit and unto you, and by My power you can read them one to another. And save it were by My power, you could not have them. Wherefore you can testify that you have heard My voice and know My words." Now the voice they were hearing was the voice of Joseph Smith. And what they were hearing was what was read to them from a piece of paper on which Joseph Smith had written the revelation. And you can readily see then, can you not, that when you want to hear the voice of the Lord, with the right spirit, all you have to do is read the Scriptures. And you'll hear the voice of the Lord, and you'll hear it constantly. And the trick, if I might use my grandchildren's phrase, is to learn to hear the voice of the Lord all the time. And therefore, you study the Scriptures all the time. Enos said in the 10th verse, "While I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying." Now, what he said isn't important at this moment, but the fact that the voice of the Lord comes into his mind, now I'm talking about the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Enos was praying to the Lord, and the voice of the Lord came into his mind. You can read the Scriptures, but you can also get it in your mind. Direct. He said later to Oliver Cowdery, "Behold, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart. by the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon you and which shall dwell in your heart. He further said to the brothers of Nephi, Laman and Lemuel, in their wickedness through Nephi. And let me read that. And you can understand that Nephi was rebuking these boys. They intended to murder Lehi and Nephi, and Nephi found it out, I suppose, by inspiration. And Nephi rebuked them in these words. You've seen an angel, and he spake unto you as one. You've heard his voice from time to time. That's two, isn't it? And he has spoken to you in a still, small voice. But you were past feeling, that you could not feel his words. Now those three scriptures put together teach me that if I am normally going along my way and behaving myself, and I want the word of the Lord to come to me, and I want to be inspired of the Holy Ghost, which is the word of the Lord, all I have to do is to live the kind of a life so that it will come into my mind, and when it gets into my mind, there'll be a feeling through here somewhere that tells me I'm getting inspiration and revelation. And I find it to be true, and had I time this morning, I could give you some illustrations of that, but I shall not do it. I want to give the rest of my sermon in the next sentence. This will surprise you. It's two sentences, perhaps. Now, I want to talk about you study the Scriptures. Hear the voice of the Lord by reading the Scriptures. And as one reads on, verse by verse, through the years, he constantly demonstrates loyalty, devotion, good works, and continual study of the Word, studying it out in his mind, as Oliver Cowdery was told to do, more and more of the verses and the chapters become illuminated to him. Until finally, he understands the whole of the Scriptures, all of them, what they mean, his complete relationship to his Lord by the Holy Ghost. Then, having had all things revealed unto him a little at a time, he cannot be withheld when he knows all things. He becomes like the brother of Jared. And the first verse of the 93rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants becomes an actual reality. Verily thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that every soul who forsaketh his sins and cometh unto me and calleth on my name and obeyeth my voice and keepeth my commandments shall see my face and know that I am. That in life, that isn't after you're dead, that's today. Anyone who will take the process can scripture by scripture become so filled with knowledge of the gospel and of the Lord that the Lord cannot withhold himself. The veil will be drawn and he can see him. You might want to work for that. I know one who does want to. It isn't I. I want to, but I'm too old. But to start, I mean. Now, getting back to the rest of it. When you study the scripture, when you know it's the Lord speaking through the Scripture, you'll have no more trouble enjoying it. You'll enjoy reading. You'll want to read. But two, you can also read and have other helps. I'm going to read you two verses of Scripture which make me want to love the Lord more. One is in Isaiah, 40th chapter. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He's trying to have you know how gentle he is. And then he gives you some assurance. And Matthew says this in the 11th chapter. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now those verses, I don't read them very well. They're emotional, of course, and you have to have emotion when you deal with the Lord. Now I'm going to ask some help in this matter. You'll discover, as I have discovered, that sometimes music, which is also of the Lord, helps you to understand better. And I have asked Sister Cynthia Pritchard and Sister Christina Watts if they will sing now these two verses that I've just read to you. After I hear something like that, somehow the Savior seems a little closer. And I can understand what his words mean. You see, the Lord's music also is inspired and is of the Lord. And you can profitably combine music and the scriptures together to learn more about him. I read you something from Prophet Joseph Smith. He was in desperation. He'd been in Liberty Jail for several months, and it was terrible. We have no idea what he suffered. But in his desperation, he said, "O God, where art thou? And where is the pavilion that covers thy hiding place?" And he asked how long his hand shall be stayed. And after he'd pled with the Lord, he received an answer. "My son, peace be unto thy soul. Thine adversary and thine adversity and thine infliction shall be but a small moment. And then if thou endure it well, God shall exalt thee on high. Thou shalt triumph over all thy foes. Thou art not yet as Job. Thy friends do not contend against thee, neither charge thee with transgression as they did Job." When you get in your adversities and when you get to feel like you're up against a wall and can't find your way out, perhaps by reading this you might get some courage. And he promised him, "The ends of the earth shall inquire after thy name, and fools shall have thee in derision, and hell shall rage against thee, while the pure in heart and the wise and the noble and the virtuous shall seek counsel at thy hand." And then he goes on to tell him of all the adversities that might strike him, and the prophet mentions some of those, and then the Lord gives him comfort by this statement. "The Son of Man hath descended below them all. Art thou greater than he?" So I would suspect that your adversities in some manner make you understand better just how these things occur. I don't have the time to do all I would like to read of the scriptures. I'd like to read two more short ones in Moses. This one contains the epitome of missionary work and all you're expected to do in this life. "And after many days, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam, saying, Why dost thou offer sacrifice unto the Lord? And Adam said unto him, I know not, save the Lord commanded me. Then the angel spake and told him why he did it, that it was done because of the only begotten of the Father. But I take great comfort from that in the things that I do. We all are invited by our leaders to do things without an explanation being made as to why we do them. Just don't be afraid. Just say, I know not, the Lord commanded it, and you're on your way. Missionaries have to learn that. That's the whole key to missionary work, and I suspect to the whole gospel. Then there's another one that brings me up short with a great shock, and I realize how terrible it is to do wrong. And I'd like to read to you the great lie. I would think, my young friends, that lying is probably the worst sin you can commit next to murder. I don't know why I say that, because I understand that adultery is bad also. And this is not church doctrine. But the liars will have no place. And this was the great lie. The poignancy, the sorrow, the terror of it just touches me so deeply I can't quite explain it to you. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And Cain, that snarly curl on his lips, said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? That is the great lie. And it's the direct opposite of what the Lord would have us do, isn't it? We are our brother's keepers, and we know it. And then there's one more. Situations you might get in yourselves. Alma calls that to our attention. These are verses of Scripture I just picked out. I read them and they strike me. And more as I read, more and more of them strike me. First one, then two, then a dozen, then 100. I could go on and on and on now for weeks just reading Scriptures that touch me. This ought to touch you. It does me. His son had been doing a lot of evil. And he'd been preaching the gospel to the people to whom he'd done the evil. And his father called his attention to it and rebuked him in these words. This has touched me very much. Suffer not yourselves to be led away by any vain or foolish thing. Suffer not the devil to lead away your heart again after those wicked harlots. Behold, O my son, how great iniquity ye have brought upon the Zoramites. For when they saw your conduct, they would not believe my words. I remember the first time I ever heard that spoken by somebody else. I'd read through the Book of Mormon a half a dozen times and never noticed it. I wasn't alert. The Spirit wasn't on me. Then suddenly, when that man read it and I heard it, I went to the book immediately as soon as I got home and looked it up. And there it was in all its great simplicity of the truth of what happens when we don't obey and the example we set. If you want the gospel in a small sentence, you have to go to Micah. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Can you feel yourself getting a little closer to the Lord when you read that? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before thy God. There's a song often sung at funerals, but it's a scripture, really. And it's the great promise. He's talking to his 12 apostles, of course, but he's made it universal so it applies to all of us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a verse of Scripture which is accompanied by great music. And I shall stop now and invite Sister Olga Gardner, accompanied by Sister Monson, to sing it for you.
Peace I give.
May I say that that was done purposely so that the boy won't be fired. And I apologize, Sister Gardner. She knew it was going to happen, but to spoil your beautiful song that way. I wanted to make a point, folks. You see, when you get the Spirit to study the Scriptures and get the Spirit of the Lord in your hearts, it also carries forward over into your studies, doesn't it? You come to the Y to study by the Spirit. You get into your rooms and you start to study. And you turn on that thing, it interrupted. And you do your studying by that kind of sound and noise and words which are certainly of Satan. And you think you can get the Spirit of the Lord, and you can't. He would no more be in your room with that kind of stuff going on than anything in the world. I thought perhaps if you could see what the real thing is in the way of spiritual development, as against the opposite, Satan, you might understand. Beautiful music adds to this Lord and his work, and you can have it. You don't have to have the other, but you can have the other if you want it. That's all a part of studying the Scriptures. I must hurry on and just pass the pages over. And come to a Scripture which has touched me more recently than before, but it's so true that I can't resist saying it to you. Nephi, in 2 Nephi, the 4th chapter, was praying to the Lord, and it became all the more, as the Spirit came upon him, he realized he had to be absolutely pure in heart if he wanted to have the Spirit of the Lord, and he knew how to get it, but he wasn't sure how he was going to keep it. And so he asked the Lord to do the one thing that would make it sure that he would keep it. When he got to the end, he said, "O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin?" When you young folks get to the stage where even the appearance of shake will make you so frightened you want to run from it, you'll know that the Spirit of the Lord's in your hearts. And if you keep that, you'll be safe. There are scriptures that I am not capable of reading well enough to have you understand. I've passed three or four I'd like to have read to you, but I want to do this rest of it. The Lord spoke to his apostles. And in that particular sermon, that particular series of words, he made me at least feel that I could understand the Father a little bit. And that I could understand his great compassion and love and kindness. But as I said before, I'm not capable of reading it. I'm going to ask a substitute to do it for me. This is John, the 17th chapter, and I shall ask Brother Lynn McKinley to read the chapter for you.
These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word, and they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Now that you may know better how to find what Brother McKinley has so well expressed to you, and I thank you, Brother McKinley, and you girls, I'll tell you how to do it. The psalmist said it better than I could say it. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. I shall bear my testimony to you by asking the choir to sing these words, and their words are my testimony to you in the name of Christ. Amen.